You know, and I think we all have an anticipation of a new year, especially with what God's got planned for us. You know, so many people sit back and say, well, it's just another day. It's not, because there's never just another day with God. God has got something planned spectacular for us each and every day. Amen? And the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't have to wait for a new year. That's a human thing. Amen? He doesn't even wait for a new decade or a new millennium. He doesn't do any of that. He's got a plan that he had from the beginning. Amen? And he doesn't stop working his plan all the way through. We're the ones that want to get rid of the old, and that happens the day we get saved. Amen? Bible says, put that old man off, right? Cast him down, get rid of him, have nothing to do with him. Kick him out of your house. All the old gets thrown out, and all the new comes in. But it is a wonderful beginning for each one of us at the end of a year, because sometimes, have you ever seen a more tumultuous year on the earth? I don't know about in my generation, with all the craziness that's going on in the world, I've never seen anything this crazy. I think a lot of it's because of the church ain't praying and fasting and coming together as the body of Christ and then stepping up and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. So I believe God wants to do a lot of changes in each one of us, you know, and I believe that God's got something special. But there's a couple of things we need to take care of right now, all right? So I want you to all stand up one more time. We got to clean house first, all right? We're cleaning house. It's not spring cleaning, ladies, all right? This is New Year's cleaning. So we're going to do is just say, Lord, forgive me of every thought, word, deed, anything that I've given myself to outside of your word. Thank you for my freedom right now. Okay, now, that's number one. You're free. Tell your neighbor, say, you're free. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're free. He said, it's done. I've washed it. You're cleansed. You're made whole. You're new in my presence. Now, we're going to agree again and say, right now, I forgive myself of everything I've done. I am no longer going to walk in guilt or shame or condemnation. I'm free indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's number two. That's number two. Did I tell you, most people beat themselves up more than anybody ever thought of beating you up. It's the worst thing there is in every household. Why do husbands come home and all of a sudden have an attitude? Not in our house, but in some houses. Because you've been thinking the wrong thoughts about yourself before you got there. And you've already stirred yourself up. And you're already looking for a response. And if you don't get it or if something goes wrong and all of a sudden, but it all has to do with you. Letting you go. I want you to know, the Holy Spirit has let you go. Yeah. He's taken all of that yuck and he threw it as far as the east is from the west. You're free this morning. You're free. You're not allowed to be looking at yourself in the mirror and saying anything this year that the word doesn't say about you. Every word that you speak over yourself this year has to come from the word of God. Amen? Good. Now you're going to say, right now, I forgive everyone who has hurt me, abused me, lied about me, gossiped about me, anyone that has done damage to my heart. I release them now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Because you see, in order to start a new year, we got to make sure we get rid of last year. You got to make sure you got rid of last year. That cleaned house. Are you guilty anymore?
No.
Yes. You guys are amazing. Do you feel shame anymore?
No.
Come on. Are you condemned anymore?
No.
That's right. That's right. Who can condemn you? Nobody. Anybody comes before God and says, hey, you know about Chris Romano. You know all about him. The Lord said, shut your mouth. That's my son. Don't you come before me. Then the devil says, yeah, you know about Rick Cartwright, though. That's a whole different ballgame. And God said, you shut your mouth. That's my son. Doesn't matter who it is. Every time anyone comes before the Father, he said, the blood is enough. And then he looks to the Son, and Jesus said, get out. He doesn't play with that stuff. Jesus doesn't pay no attention to them fools that come before him, every one of them demons that try to lie to you, or the devil that comes up to him and says, wait a minute, they messed up. God said, yeah, but I didn't. I did it all right, and even when they don't, I got them covered. And he covers you everywhere you go, amen? So you're free this morning?
Yes.
You're free this morning?
Yes.
All right, all year.
You
don't forget that, because we started it off now. He forgave you, you forgave you, and then you look at your neighbor and say, yeah, I let you go. Tell your other neighbor, say, I hope you let me go. Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you, that does more damage in the body of Christ than anything else. In the body. We're not talking about the world. They're destroying themselves left and right. They're already condemned, right? They condemn themselves. We don't need to say a word. But in the body, that stuff is destructive. And we're not doing that this year. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now that we got the house cleaning done, how's it feel good? Smells like spring, doesn't it? I know when I come into the house and all the windows and doors are open in the spring, my wife is in there just to clean away. It's like everything smells like outside. Can I tell you what God got? The smells that God created are good. And man, it smells pure. So, listen, we've got to brag on God a little bit. Can we do that this morning? Right, brag on all that God has done. I just think about all the blessings that we've been able to enjoy this year. Several marriages, young people getting married. That's fun stuff, isn't it? Just watching them smile, watching them look at each other and stare, watching them cry and weep and so excited for the first week. Okay, for the first month. But we already know what they're going to have to experience and how they're going to have to grow. Amen? But how beautiful is it, right? We got to experience those babies being born, right? We got a bunch of new babies. We had 3 in our family this year. I told my kids, I want the same thing next year. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it, you know, just that's what I want. You know, when we look at those little babies and they're so beautiful, and there's nothing they can't do. And there's nothing they've done wrong. You're the same way. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you're the same way. In God's eyes, you've done nothing wrong. He's washed you. Amen? And we've had to celebrate some going home to be with the Lord. You know, and it just, God reminds us that in moments like this and until we're reunited again in eternity, it's only a moment. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have long. Just look at your other neighbor and just nod. Listen, because life's like a vapor, the Bible says, right? It doesn't have nothing to do with your age. It has to do with what the Word says. We don't know what tomorrow brings. So I want to live my life to the fullest right now. I don't want to waste another moment. I want to try to get to a certain place. I want to enjoy all of His promises now. And I believe that we can. And so those that have gone on before us have beat us getting there. And it's us that have to walk through that mourning phase or that season of growing even closer to God and realizing how quickly those seasons are over. But even in that, we don't grieve as those with no hope. Amen? You know, many have come to know the Lord for the first time. We've had a whole lot of salvations in the house this year. You know, how great is God? That because of you, tell your neighbor, say, because of you. Right. Sharing the word of God with other people, they've come to know Jesus Christ. Because you prayed, because you've worshiped, because you've talked, because you've blessed, because you've given, then other people's lives have been affected because of you. And therefore, they come into the kingdom of God. And so therefore, the church in Hudson, rock solid church, guess what happens? We're the ones that stir all of heaven to rejoice. Because every time someone gives their lives to Christ, all the angels join in. Amen? So you, because of you and what God is doing through you, all of heaven starts to rejoice when one comes. That's what this scripture says. So in essence, you are making an impact in eternity by touching a soul here on the earth. Amen? And that's good news, isn't it? Think about that. Every time someone gets saved, you move all of heaven to worship. It's incredible, isn't it? That's how excited God is when one son or daughter comes home. We need to have that same kind of excitement and desire. Not about what I want, where I want to be, where I want to sit, where I want to live, where I want to go, what I want to go on vacation, what I want to do for a job, but who is it that God's putting before me? Because they have to get ready to come into the kingdom of God. And we're going to stand there, and when they do, we're going to be listening. And all of heaven's going to join in with us. All the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim screaming and yelling and shouting unto God with voices of triumph. Amen? All because you've been faithful. Tell your neighbor, say he's talking about you. Yeah. The baptisms, right? The washing and regeneration. How the heavens celebrated. And, you know, thank you for continuing to serve. There's some that are serving downstairs with the children right now in so many different places. And, you know, the missions that we've supported this year, you know, the things that we've been allowed to do where young people going into the mission field full time and part time, right? We've got a team leaving next month for 10, 12 days. Supporting the Hassingers down in Haiti who are touching over 300 kids a week, all because you're faithful to your God. Can I tell you, without you, it's not possible. You're the ones that make all of these things possible. The Hassingers are in Haiti touching those children's lives because of your faithfulness, because of your giving. You know, we got to pay for a container to go to Israel through Jezreel. So we paid for a container of supplies to go to Israel this year. You know, it was $5,000 to pay for a container. And we got to send one here through our church. You know, we drilled we drilled another well over in India with Pastor Sudhir Mahanty, who's still planting churches. You know, he's planted over 150 churches in India. Part of that is because of you. Tell your neighbor, say he's talking about you. Right. Right, Pastor Greg down there in Guatemala, he's planted over 16 churches down there, and we've been able to build several of them. Four or five of them we've physically built. the church in Egypt, we support the pastor over there, and they're planting churches like crazy in Egypt. It's exploding over there. Exploding. They just had a meeting with over 180 pastors coming together in Egypt. You won't hear about that in the news. But God's changing lives. We're a part of what God's doing in Egypt. Amen? And then the food pantry. I mean, in the local missions also. Let's see. What did she say for this year? Oh. We served over 9,000 people and over 6,000 kids. And over 2,900 adults or seniors. I'm sorry. And then we gave out over 165,000 pounds worth of food this year. You know, so that's another. Yeah, which adds up to about 21,000 meals that we gave away because of you. Some of you helped feed over 21,000 people because you sowed, because you gave your time. This is what we're supposed to be giving ourselves to. Amen? Meeting the needs of those that are around us. And then also from home missions with Justice for Orphans and A Light Teen Challenge, Operation Christmas Child. These are all the local ones that we've supported. And we need to know what God has done this past year because we're quick to forget, aren't we? Yeah. We're so quick to forget what God has done and how many times, how many miracles he's done in our lives. We've got to go back and remember all that he's done and lay aside what we've done and get ready to do what he's called us to do. Amen? Because he's got more for us. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage, you know, and then obviously we planted a bonfire over there in Philmont, amen? Something that's lighting up that area. They had like 125 people at the church there on Christmas Eve. A lot of them from the town there, you know? So here, and to top it all off, God allows us to ask a whole bunch of people to just go and serve God. And what does that do? As they start to serve in another area, their gifts start to get expressed in a different way, don't they? Right? More men and women get to stand up and express the love of God in a greater way. So all because you're faithful. Tell your other neighbor, say, he's talking to you. Right. And you know, this year, as we look back at last year, look at how he supplied all of your needs. He said he would. Amen? And he was faithful again, right? You're sitting here, and you absolutely need to fast because he supplied so good last year. I know I do. He supplied above and beyond all we could ever ask or think. Once again, last year, you're wondering, how are you going to do it, Lord? And he said, well, I'm going to do it again. You know what? This year, don't ask him. Just expect it. Expect him to have everything. When we walk out in faith, we take a step of faith and we think, oh God, I'm stepping out where I've never been before. But God's in front of us saying, come on, come on, come on, right? Just like a kid riding a bike or walking. We think, oh, it's a leap of faith. And God's like, I'm right here. Yeah, but man, Lord, this is scary. Why? I'm looking at you. I got my arms out. I've never dropped anyone yet. No matter how far you walk, you're never going to get beyond all that he supplies. But yet so many are afraid to take a step of faith or a leap of faith. Oh, I don't know if God will. God will do what he said he's going to do. And he said, I'll make sure that all your provision is taken care of. Isn't it amazing? Because when we put him first and foremost, then it's easy to step out in faith. When we think about us, then it becomes difficult. I don't know if I can. You're right, you can't. But he can through you. He's amazing. And there's nothing you will lack. Nothing you will lack. And in the most tumultuous year, he's made a way for you to not just get by, but prosper. Because that's what he said in his word. Amen? Above and beyond anything you can ask or think. Exactly. So I just want to encourage you that he led each one of us by the Holy Spirit through last year. He supplied leaders here to the church over in Philmont, workers, finances. He brought people in. He did it all, and he provided everything, and he always will. He's a good God. Amen? So expect nothing less this year. Whatever he did in you and through you last year, don't expect less from this year. That's the problem is I don't know what he's going to do. Yes, you do. Here's what he's going to do. When you read, he's going to renew your mind. He's going to do that. Amen? Yes. When you wake up in the morning, he's going to fill your room with mercy. Amen? Yes. Expect that tomorrow morning. When you wake up and it's a new year, expect your room being filled with mercy because he said he's going to do that again. He said he's going to bless everything you put your hands to, didn't he? Right. So we're expecting that this year. Amen? And everything that he blesses us with, we're going to give in order to use it for the expansion of his kingdom. Amen? Because that's the only thing that's eternal. So all of these things, the problem is so many people go in with so few expectations into the new year that that's exactly what they have at the end of the year. Few expectations or few things that change. But I believe he's going to change all of that this year in each one of us. And he has, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, he has a plan for your life. It's an individual plan, right? He's got an individual plan. My wife's plan is a little bit different, but together we walk it out. And therefore, my job is to make sure that her ministry has an expression wherever she walks, right? That's what my job is. My purpose is I walk out my calling, and in that calling, then her calling, now I've got to walk alongside of her, pray and encourage her so that the expression of her gift changes the world also. And then when we get together, the training and the equipping is to get you to express your gift so that the rest of the world is changed by the power of the love of God inside of you. Does that make sense? Because it's an individual gift that God has given you, right? It's an individual calling. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Right. So it's individual with me and God, but now as me and her walk together as one, now we walk together to say, okay, how can we complement one another and how can we take this to another level so that he's glorified in a greater way? Because where one puts 1,000, two put 10,000, right? So we're hoping for 10,000 churches. Sound good? Why not? Why not? Not just with us. There's a whole bunch of ministries around that want to walk together and build the kingdom and plant churches. So we can't just look at us. We've got to look in a bigger scale. He used the circumstances of 2023 to smooth more of your rough edges. Some of you look pretty polished. Just throwing that out there. He changed our character. He strengthened our character. What he brought us through, he proved himself mighty on our behalf. And now we've changed and gotten stronger. Amen? Yeah. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm much stronger. So don't mess with me. No. You're much stronger this year than you were last year because God took people around you and helped shave off some of them barnacles, some of them rough edges. Yeah, there's a few left. He'll be working on them this year with each one of us. Amen? Because that's a never-ending work that God has for us. And he's shaping our lives. He's preparing us for a new year, and he wants to send us. He wants us to be his spokesperson in a broken world. We're here this morning. We read about all the different places that we were able to touch and sow into and give and expand the kingdom. But it's wherever you walk, that's where he wants expansion. When you walk into your house, an expansion, time in prayer, time in worship, giving, loving, opening up the home, bringing in the lost, whatever it is, he wants to expand it in a greater way this year. That's his desire, his plan. You've got room in your house. I don't care if you got to sit on the floor. People come over, we could do, that's what they do over in the Middle East, right? You just sit on a cushion. Doesn't matter what your house looks like or what you have. I don't care if you got beans and rice. That's what we had yesterday. So this morning I just wanted to sort of clarify what God has done last year and then prepare us for this year. Prepare you for something extraordinary. If you do not have extraordinary thoughts, it's because you're thinking like a human rather than a Christian. You're thinking just like a human being. But once we become saved, then God takes and expands every thought we have, and he kingdomizes it. And, sorry. That's for you, Dr. King, if you ever watch this. But he takes our thought process, and he brings it into the kingdom, which expands every thought we have. He's good like that, isn't he? Think about what he's already done in your life. Think about how he's touched and changed your life. Right? Not just last year, but every year he expands your thinking. And he changes your where your tent pegs are. He throws them out even further. And so I think that this year, as we get ready, if you don't have to turn there, but Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. I just want to read the very beginning of that. It says, but Daniel made up his mind. Tell your neighbors, I'm making up my mind. Right. Now we know this was about 605 BC, right? King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he overthrows Jerusalem, and then he brings Daniel back to Babylon, right? And he names him after one of his gods. And he's like, all right, we took you from your family. We took you from your territory. We gave you a new name. Now I'm going to give you the finest wines and the food you're going to be able to eat here because you're a man of wisdom, and we're going to use you. And it says, and Daniel made up his mind. I will never be a Babylonian. That's what he did. He said, I'm not going to be what you're calling me to be. I'm going to be what God called me to be. I'm going to serve him in the midst of Babylon. I don't want the choice meats. Watch and look at my countenance. Watch how I live. Watch how I act. See, that's our commitment this year. Amen?
Yes.
I made up my mind that when the whole world is watching and they're going one way, I'm going the opposite. And when they're going one way, I want nothing to do with what they're chasing after. Because what they're chasing after is darkness. And when we sang that song, it just popped out at me, when darkness tried to hide. Isn't that funny? How many times have you tried to hide darkness in yourself? Right? You thought you were smarter than everybody else. You thought you were slick. Nobody will find this out. And darkness tried to hide. And wham! The light came in and everybody saw it. And God said, yeah, don't worry about it. It's forgiven. Go on. But we got to get rid of that darkness. That darkness that we've tried to hide in our lives, we just need to expose it and express it and say, Lord, it's all yours. Just like Daniel said, he made up his mind. We've got to make up our minds. Look, there's got to be no shadow of turning. There's got to be no darkness. I want nothing to do with darkness. The dark thoughts. The dark stuff that we're watching. Can I tell you, during the fast, I would encourage you, shut off every device you got that consumes the world. Shut them off. Bring your kids in too and say, hey, for this season, we're shutting them screens off. And you watch the kids all of a sudden. Convulsions. Because that's what they've known. No, this is my lifeline. Don't you know how many friends I have? None! If they're all virtual. Shut them all off. You want to change this year? Walk away from all of that stuff and say, Lord, these next 20 days are yours. Whether you can only fast a meal, that's fine. But shut that thing off and just get lost. You know, when Dan came a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago now, like 9, I guess, 10, a few weeks ago. He said when I was out in Montana or Wyoming, somewhere out west, he said he shut off the news and all he did was listen to the word of God. And then God spoke to him so clearly. And everything changed in a moment with God. Can I tell you what you're putting before your eyes is controlling us? Everything we put before our eyes controls us. Daniel, he looked at the choice meats and he said, that stuff won't control me. Not happening. I will not be one of your Babylonian gods or these guys that is named after one of your gods. I'm going to serve my God. And you know, this year you might have to walk through some stuff and you might have to make a decision and you might have to make up your mind that I'm not going down that road to please my flesh this year. And it cost Daniel. We know he went into the lion's den, but then he came out number two. He came out number two, right? He came as a slave, taken from his own land, given a new name, thrown into a pit with a bunch of lions, and then he becomes number two in the land. God wants to raise you up. He wants to use you, each one of us, to change people's lives. That's what his desire is. You know, if we're going to be the kind of people that seizes the opportunity God gives us to prove our love and devotion to him, then we're going to have to decide in our heart ahead of time to do so. And that's what today is. Today is making a decision in your mind. I'm making my mind up. This year will be. I will add something else to my arsenal of spiritual weapons. I'm going to add something else to it. Maybe you've never journaled before. I'm going to start journaling. Can I just tell you, journaling is amazing. It changes your lives. My wife's been journaling and just writing little devotions when God gives them. One day that'll be a book. Right? When you just take the time and just write down the thoughts that God gives you, things start to change in your life. And the more disciplined you are, where you read in the morning and then you start to write down the thoughts that God gives you, all of a sudden you look and you're like, oh, that's incredible. Where did that come from? And it starts to change the way that you think. Amen? So whatever little change, you have to make up your mind, because the enemy's going to say, oh, wait a minute, the baby's crying. Oh, wait a minute, the tea water's whistling. Oh, wait a minute, oh, the phone rang. Yeah, this is really important. Right. Not for the most part. Sometimes it is. But if you'll make a decision, I'm just going to set my life. I'm going to make up my mind now that I want more of him and less of me. You know, we see with Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 2. They walked with Jesus. Jesus is ascended and he's gone. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And what does it say? Peter stood up. Right? That's what Daniel did. He stood up to those that said, this is what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. He said, no, I don't think so. The Christians would look at the world and say, yeah, I don't think so. What? Why aren't you going to come? Why aren't you going to follow us? Looks like darkness to me. And that they would say, no, I'm going to make up my mind and I'm going to stand up. But I'm going to stand up for righteousness. I'm going to stand on the power of God's word. I'm going to stand in the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to be moved. Because if men and women of God would just stand up, everything around you starts to change. Everything in this area starts to change. We have 200-300 Christians all standing up saying the same thing. Let me tell you something. That's why prayer is so powerful when we're all together, because that starts to change the whole dynamic, the whole spiritual atmosphere in the city of Hudson, in Columbia and Greene counties. Everything starts to change when God's kids start to come together. The problem is most of God's kids don't come together because they don't believe that they're that powerful when they step into prayer. Therefore, they hold back and they say, well, at least I read today. So many say, well, at least I read today. That's good enough, God. I'll see you tomorrow. How much you want from me? I know I said that a long time ago. I'm like, oh, I read 3 chapters. Now the pastor wants me to pray a long time and fast. How much you want from me, God? How much do we have to do? And I really struggled in the beginning. But I believe that if we'll stand up, we'll stand with one another and fast. We'll stand on his word alone. No matter how we're feeling, what a man says, no matter what is going on in the world, and no matter what is happening in our families, we're just going to make a decision to stand on his promises. And I believe that when we do that, everything in your life starts to change. No matter what anybody else does, you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've heard this before, and you're going to hear it again and again and again, because his word never changes. Amen? His word does not change. Daniel said, I made up my mind. You've got a choice. You're in total control of every decision that's about to come upon you. Even when someone doesn't act right towards you, you still have that choice. And how about we make up our mind that I won't respond like I did last year? I know that's when you get the, I'll give it a shot, brother. I can't guarantee nothing, though. Can't promise you nothing. But I believe that God's got a plan, and as we learn how to handle confrontation, how we handle rejection, that all of a sudden God opens up more and more and more doors. And I believe there's a whole lot of doors going to open up for the church and the body of Christ this year. Your doors are about to open, but you're going to have to make up your mind to walk through them. How many times the doors opened and people said, I don't know if that's God. I had 2 guys come to my house yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And looking at the truck. 2 of them come in. They come off of the out of the mountain. 2 young boys, good kids, you know. Just one kid works for the county, a Greene County Highway Department. And the other one, he was only 19 years old. And we were talking about the truck. And after I gave them the 2-minute quick version of what's going on with the truck, the next 20 minutes I told them about Christ. And we just got to sit there and talk about the things of God. And I said, fellas, I don't know, they live up in Roxbury up there. I said, listen, if you want to know more about this, you call me. You have my number on Messenger here. I said, you message me, I'll come up and I'll buy you lunch and we'll sit down, we'll talk more about the things of God. And the 19-year-old said, he goes, man, this is good stuff. Thanks. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Just give away good stuff. Right? We just give good stuff to anybody that comes. These guys just, they had no idea that they were going to hear all about the kingdom of God. They wanted to buy a truck, some rusty thing that's not going to work for a very long time. And they thought that's all they're going to get was information about that. And then all of a sudden they stood there, and that 19-year-old was smiling from ear to ear the whole time. It was glorious. Can I tell you, that's what God's looking for when we take the shot when the door opens. I really covet your prayers for tomorrow, because tomorrow I go and pray for the judge that's getting set in. You know, I'm really the county judge here in Columbia County. And I really covet your prayers, because I want to pray just the word of God, because I know where the word of the king is, there's power. Amen. Right? It's another door God's opening up in 2024. Right? There we go. There's another door in 24. All right? There you go. Every morning you wake up, there's another door in 24. All right? It's one that he's opening up, and I know that when we pray, when you're praying, and then I get to pray in that chamber, wherever we are, I know the word of God is going to start changing hearts. Right, and five people agree with me. Isn't that incredible? Huh? I know that even when the Muslim prays, his God's dead. He's got nothing to offer. He just copied the Bible. That's all he did. Some of it. And then the rabbi's going to pray, but he's got a bunch of laws. He doesn't have the Messiah. Amen. He can't give them the Messiah. That's all I'm giving is him. Amen? So when we go in there to pray, we're just going to be praying the word of God and believing the Holy Ghost is going to change every heart in that place. Because the only one with power is the word of God. And the Holy Spirit taking that and slamming it into those hard hearts and breaking away and making it in a heart of flesh again. That's what God does. And that's what he's able to do. But we got to walk through that door. And I believe there's other doors that are coming open for your life. A door in your marriage. A door with your children. A door with wayward children. All kinds of doors God's going to open up. And when we walk through, it's his word that changes their lives. It's his word that changes your marriage. It's his word that changes your finances. It's his word that changes everything in your life. But we're going to have to make a decision to walk it out. We're going to have to make up our mind. And then as Peter did, Peter stood up. And we all know what happened when Peter stood up. 3,000 came to the kingdom. Swept into the kingdom in one moment. Trained and equipped, and then he just stood up. He made up his mind. He said, hang on, we're not drunk. Let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you about this Jesus whose blood was shed, who you killed. 3,000 people came to Christ. One moment. I believe you're here, and I believe every single one of us preaching the word of God can have that same opportunity. God's no respecter of persons. But will we make up our mind, stand up, and preach to 3,000 people? Who are saying, you're just a bunch of wackos. So you're saying to Peter, well, you guys are all drunk. You're out of your minds. Peter said, no, let me tell you the truth. Will we be courageous enough this year that no matter who says anything, we make up our mind and we stand up. And we proclaim his truth according to his word and watch his word do the work in their lives. Because everything else is a waste of time. You know, when they were coming out of Egypt, a lot of them didn't make it to the promised land. I want you to know you're living in the promised land. Because all of his promises are yea and amen. Amen? Amen. Right. All of his promises are yea and amen to them that what? Believe. Tell your neighbors, I'm a believer. They're mine. Right. See, all the promises are yours, so we're living in the promised land. The problem is a lot of Christians don't even know what the promises are. They've never read them. They've never read the promises. They're walking through in bondage, and they don't agree that they already are walking in the promised land, where all of God's promises are yours. He's going to withhold no good thing from anyone that believes. That's the key. They stayed in the wilderness, and they died in the wilderness because of what? Unbelief? Disobedience? See, but I believe that when we walk and we agree with the promises that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, that's what his word says. When I can do anything, then whatever it is, if I got to clean the toilets, I can do that through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, don't ask me to do that, Pastor. Whatever it is, when we do it under the Lord, then freedom has come into our lives. The littlest task. Listen, if we're in the body of Christ, I'll look down, all right? If we're in the body of Christ and there's things that need, or there's needs in the church, and you can meet that need, then you should meet it. Amen?
Amen.
How simple is that? We came out of the world and we came into the kingdom. The kingdom is made up of the body of Christ. We're the bride, right? So when we come in, we take our gifts and we lay them at the altar. And we say, here they are, Lord. Use them as you please. Isn't that what we do? We climb on an altar and we die. And this year, whatever your gift is to be used for the kingdom of God. Yeah, well, brother, this is my ministry. It's always so funny. You'll always be by yourself. This is a kingdom thought process. Rock Solid Church is not my ministry. It's ours. Because everyone in here is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I happen to be the set man here, but it's not my ministry. I die tomorrow. Somebody else better pick this up and keep going. Keep planting churches.
Amen.
How many men of God have gone on and died this past year? There was, Hayford, right? He died this past year. And a couple other big names. They all passed away. Somebody else had to step up into their place. So this is about each individual fulfilling what God's called them to do. And every single one, when you have a gift, Pastor Tom's always looking for help in the nursery. If you got kids here, you should be helping.
Yeah.
What's that? All grades. That's right. That didn't come from me. See her. All grades. If you've got children, then and somebody else is training your children, you should be training too. Is that simple? If you play an instrument, you should be using it for the kingdom of God. Amen? If you've got a good voice, sorry, Jay. If you've got a... He's been trying to get on the worship team for years. But if you've got a good voice and you're not using it for the kingdom, I don't want to get to church at 7:30 for practice. I want to change the world. No, you don't. No, you want somebody else to change the world. And you just want to wait till you get to eternity. Can I tell you? This year, we got to walk out what God has called us to do. Walk out. We got to walk out of here and into that place that God has already prepared for us. Because there's nothing lacking in your life. Just tell your neighbor, say, you lack nothing. To do what God called you to do, you lack nothing. To go where you want to go, you might lack something. An Alaskan cruise or something like that. Maybe you lack for that, but to do what God's called you to do, you lack nothing if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are filled with the Holy Ghost. There is nothing you lack to change people's lives. Thank you, honey. I think God's tired of waiting for everybody to agree with him that you can do all things. I really think God's... Wouldn't you get tired? Wouldn't you get tired of potty training a 16-year-old? I know some people are, sorry. But isn't that the same thing? We walk with Christ for a very long time. Nobody's lives are affected by us. And we just sit back and say, oh, Lord, I love you. No, because if we're in love with the Lord, somebody else's life is going to be affected. I fell in love with my wife. Her life was affected. Infected. Affected. She found out mine was defected. And then we walked it out. But I want you to know, if we're in love with God, somebody else's life is going to be changed. It has to be, or you're not really in love. There's no way. There's no way. If you have the gift of hospitality, somebody should be in your house every week. Yes. After you're done fasting, they won't like a bottle of water if they come over. But if you have the gift of hospitality, open up your home. Invite somebody in. If you have the gift of giving, then you better be giving like never before. If you have the gift of evangelist, you better be out on that street corner. You better be talking to somebody every single day. Whatever the call, whatever the gift is on you and in you, other people's lives have to be affected this year. Because I believe we're getting closer. And I believe it's a great harvest time for the body of Christ. And you're it. You're the harvesters. You ever see them big international harvesters when they're doing the corn? Taking out 30 rows at a time. I believe there's some gifts in here that can bring in 30 people at a time. Why? Because of the call of God on your life and the gift inside of you. I believe there's better preachers in here than I am. And we just want to watch you get up and preach. Why'd you get so quiet? I ain't volunteering. I'm not volunteering. Hope he doesn't look at me. Don't pick me. Don't pick me. So, honey, is that ham okay over there? Is that anything cooking? We good? Yeah, I believe that you're here. JoJo, heaven forbid you get out of college without young men sitting next to you. I will whittle you down to 5'8". He's like 6'6". Heaven forbid, Anthony, you're walking around here in Hudson and nobody else is sitting next to you in the next 6 weeks. I will sick Pastor Jeff on you. All right? I'm afraid of you, so I'll sick him on you, all right? There's no reason, because I know the gift that's on the inside of you. Every single one. Maybe you're home and I really don't get out much. You got a phone. You got a phone. I can't go too far. Go to the nursing home. They're open again. There's ways to utilize your gift to change people's lives. There's ways that I have to change in order to transform more people's lives. I believe that with all of our hearts. God is always standing in front of you, and all that you have need of is already waiting. Stop being afraid. God didn't give you that fear. He didn't give you that spirit. Stop making excuses. I make a decision in my mind. I won't make excuses this year. Write that on your whiteboard. Tape it to your mirror. I'm not making excuses. I'm just going to be obedient. What are our excuses? Well, it's because of him. It's because of her. It's because of them. It's because of it. God says, it's just you and me, kid. Yeah, but you know what they did. Yeah, I know. But do you know what I've done? Yeah, but I can't do that. I can if you'll let me through you. There's nothing that you lack. No excuses. A new door in 24. You heard it here first. All right? Stand up this morning. No excuses. No excuses. Larry Walker, God gave you a job in that school to change people's lives for the kingdom. And that's it. For the kingdom. Generations need to be changed before school's out in them young people's lives. Generations. He put you there. He paid you to go into a school and preach the gospel. That's a good job, isn't it? Man, that's what his job is. Full time. Keep an eye on kids. Deal with the rowdy ones. Everybody likes the rowdy ones, don't you? Yeah. My mom would always say, I'd rather have a wild horse than a dead horse. Right? You've got a job, Larry Walker. And it's got nothing to do with what that school told you to do. It's changing them young men's lives and young ladies' lives for the kingdom of God. Everywhere you walk, every single person in here. Bread. When you're traveling, bread, somebody's life better be changed every time before you come home or don't come home. All right? Because I know the gift inside of him. He's an evangelist. There's no doubt. The people in your gym, yeah, they better be here. I know they're coming a little trickle, but there's going to be a deluge. Why? Because of the Christ in you. Not because of you. You're just a vessel that he's going to use. But no excuses. None. None, none, none. Every one of us, every single person in here. Florenzio? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Feliz Navidad. All right. Roberto, same, same. There's men and women out there that you guys can touch that we can't. It's your job. That's what he's called you to do. And there's nothing lacking in you guys. Nothing. Nothing lacking. No excuses. Make up your mind. Daniel did. I won't be defiled. Peter said, I got Christ. I got the Holy Ghost. I've had enough. I'll stand up. That's all he did. I'll stand up and say the same thing Jesus said. And I'll have the same results he had. And it's true. You'll have the same results when you say what he says. You won't have the same results when you say what you think. Heaven forbid you say what you think. So get ready, because there's another door in 24. Okay? It's coming. You heard it here first. Your life is going to be changed. Make up your mind. Stand up. Make up your mind. Stand up. Make up your mind. Stand up. Stand up to the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Raise up that standard against him, the word of God. Make up your mind. Stand up. Make up your mind to stand up. Tell your neighbor, say, make up your mind to stand up. You got to say it quite a few times to people before they get it. I know I have to hear it a whole bunch of times. Make up your mind. I won't be defiled. I'm going another direction. You teenagers, the only thing the enemy wants to do is defile you. Make up your mind and stand up. Wherever you go to school, wherever you walk, whoever your friends are, and they say, hey man, try this. Make up your mind. And stand up and just let them know, hey, why don't you try this and give them Jesus. Amen. All power and authority is yours. All of it. All of it. Let's go before him and pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we're so thankful for your loving kindness upon our lives. For Lord, today we know that we stand here forgiven. We've forgiven ourselves and we've forgiven those around us. And we truly are free indeed. We've forgiven those, Lord, that maybe aren't even here any longer. And therefore, you have made us free today through the power of your great love. And Lord, in our freedom, we make a decision that we're going to make up our mind. Even though Daniel was taken from his people, dragged miles away, given a different name, brought up in another house, he made up his mind, I'm not going to defile myself with that. And Lord, when we don't defile ourselves, then we can look at them and say, hey, take a look at us in 30 days. Take a look at the way that I'm living. Take a look at the way that I speak. Take a look at what I give myself to. Take a look at how we bless those that are hurting. Lord, that each one of us would be an example to all of those around us. That no matter where we walk, we stand up just as Peter did. And we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, let this year be a year where there's no more excuses. We're not distracted. We take our gift and we lay it on the altar. And we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord in every area of our lives. We're no longer going under, but we're going over. We're no longer the tail, we're the head, according to your word. And Lord, no matter when we, whether we go in or out, we're blessed. That's what your word says. We'll be blessed going in and going out. Whatever door you want us to walk in, oh God, Lord, we're going to walk in that door and we know we're going to get blessed. No matter how they respond is not the issue, but our obedience is. And so, Father, I thank you for the open doors for each and every life that's in here. I thank you, Father, that no matter where they walk in righteousness, they walk in victory, and they're walking into your hands. Lord, at every step that we take this year, we remind ourselves, wait a minute, my God is before me. He's reaching out and he's calling me, saying, come, come, I've got more. Don't worry, I've already blazed the path. You said you would already light up that path. You've made that path straight. There's no miscommunication with you. You never change and you don't lie, and you said you'll go before us. Father, so I pray that each one would just take that leap of faith and say, no, I know my God will make a way, and I'm going to talk to my neighbor. I'm going to go pray for those that are in the nursing home. I'm going to go preach somewhere. I'm going to go tell somebody. Anywhere that I can go, somebody's going to hear of the goodness, because it's time that I stood up. And Father, I thank you for the increase that's coming in this area into the body of Christ. Lord, no matter where we walk, we don't change the subject. We don't care if we're sitting at a diner or if they're coming to buy a truck. We're going to tell them about the goodness of our King. And Lord, we know that when we share your word, their lives are going to be changed. So Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for washing and cleansing us. We thank you for empowering us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for making all things new. We thank you, Father, for not only our lives, but our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children. Lord, did a fourth generation get blessed because we're going to walk in obedience to your word. Father, we're not even worried about their provision because we know it's already there waiting for them, and they're not even born yet because your word says so. You're that good of a father. Lord, let us stretch out our hands in faith this year. Open up another door and walk through it. For you are going to use each one of us to change somebody else's life, because we've come into a place of great freedom since you have set us free. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.